One of the things as we were getting to know Jessica in this process of just trying to discern, bringing on some additional people from, because what's interesting, and I don't know that this was clear, so some of you, especially if you're new to CSF, all of these people out here who were just up here, they were all at one point, they were in your all's seats. JR, are you okay back there? Okay, he's good. JR, there you go. But they were in your all seats. They were students here. And so they came up through CSF. We love it. We want to grow people in such a way that wherever they go, whether it's to be teachers, doctors, lawyers, moms, dads, whatever, that they come up through here and they grow in such a way they want to take the kingdom and let God work through them. And these people have all said, hey, CSF was great. I want to keep working here after college. And so that's what they've done. But we also realize CSF is not the only place that God is using on campuses. Of course not, in America. And so, you know, as we were getting to know Jessica, one of the fun things about her was that her college ministry experience was at the Wesley Foundation, the University of Georgia, which for, I know, she's,
her
yeah.
dogs.
But she's
yes.
not wearing red.
Yes.
No
Thank
red
you.
Here.
I see you. Thank you.
But, you know, so dogs aside, because, I mean, it's hard to really dislike Georgia because they usually kill us in football. We usually return the favor in basketball. So it's not really like a true rivalry, right? But one of the things we liked about Jessica was that she had this connection to the University of Georgia and its Wesley Foundation, which is one of the most thriving, I mean, probably most people, if you know campus ministry world and you talk to other campus pastors, it is one of the handful. I mean, I would say probably most people would say, hey, one of the four or five most unique campus ministries in all of America and what they're doing. And so she came here and we were like, man, great. We would love to learn what God's doing there and to see if some of that fits here at UK. And so Jessica came here and she also not just brought her, you know, experience with her. She also brought one of her friends here who's going to be sharing this weekend. So I'll let you introduce him.
All right. Thank you, Brian. It's good. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Love being at CSF. I love being the other resident old person, but I'm not as old as Brian, so that's fun too. Yeah, I know. It's great. So good. So good. But I am like a little bit old, and so this will tell you a little bit about how old I am. So I graduated from college in 2003, which was like in the dark ages. I know. We didn't even have like smartphones. It was really sad. Actually, it was pretty awesome. But so when I graduated from college, I thought, I'm just going to spend the next year giving back to a place that fed me so much. I was just totally, the story of my life got rewritten by Jesus when I was in college. I mean, he just met me in the most profound way and changed everything about who I am. And so I thought, man, I just want to serve back in a place that has just changed absolutely everything for me. And so I worked with the freshman ministry. When I was first out of school, yes, freshman ministry. And I remember really distinctly, I was working with the freshman ministry. We took a mission trip to Jamaica over spring break, and we had this Monday night worship service. And as we got to know the students, I just began to notice that one of them really stood out. I mean, he was such a leader, and he had a just fire and a passion for Jesus that was remarkable. And you could see this group of friends that these guys that would hang out together, but he was definitely kind of like the ringleader, the one that would kind of circle everybody up and help lead these other guys toward Jesus. And I especially remember thinking that, whoa, this guy is intense and has some real fire in his belly. Like, this guy wants to know Lord, because we had the 7:30 a.m. prayer meeting every Tuesday in college, and the staff were required to come, but we would like drag ourselves out of bed. And it wasn't like, we weren't there a lot of times enthusiastically. But as a freshman, Daniel would come and bring his friends to this prayer meeting voluntarily, 7:30 a.m., which on a college campus, it's like its own time zone. So it's basically like 4 a.m., you know? And so he would get up and come totally voluntarily because he wanted to a prayer meeting. And I thought, man, I remember standing in the back of the room one day with another guy who was on staff with me. We were probably 23 at the time. I'm 38 now, so it's been a little while. And we were talking, and I remember pointing at Daniel, and we were like, man, he is going to go far. We don't know what he's going to do. He'll probably, you know, work here at Wesley for a year at least, and then, you know, God knows what he'll do with his life, but he's going to go far in the kingdom of God. He's going to go far in Jesus. And I never would have guessed back then that Daniel would actually graduate and serve that campus ministry. Now in his, Daniel, is it your 13th year? 13th year. He leads the freshman ministry and does several other things at UGA. And In the world that we live in, where people just kind of tend to move around, or the minute that they don't like something at their church, they'll jump across the street or across town, to stay put for 13 years and to pour your life out so that college students could hear the gospel is just remarkable. And I've loved watching Daniel lead. I've loved watching him kind of grow this ministry over the years. And I love getting to go back to Athens, Go Dawgs, every now and again, and just to peek in on what they're doing. So this is one of those funny moments in life where things kind of go full circle, that I led Daniel as a freshman, and now he's been leading this ministry for years, and I'm inviting him to come and to speak to students in my context. It's a beautiful thing. And what I want to say to all of you, how many freshmen have we got? Whoa, yes. Yeah, it started that freshman year. I think the Lord was at work in Daniel before that, but I remember as a freshman watching the light of Jesus just increase in his life. And so I would just say, freshman, go for it. And I'm going to invite Daniel to come forward. He's going to share the word with us. This is Daniel Simmons.
Thanks, Jessica. I never know how to respond when someone gives you a good introduction, because it's like, you kind of wish they just told everyone you were awful, and then the bar is really low, and so then no matter what I say, you're like, oh, that was better than what I expected. A few things about me, y'all shared some interesting facts. One is I snap with these two fingers instead of these two. I didn't know that was weird till I came to college. But that's an interesting fact. Another interesting, look, all y'all are doing it, because I wanted to do that as a social experiment, because a lot of y'all as well, when she shared about the nose, I looked out in the crowd, and all of y'all were doing it as well. That was interesting. Another interesting fact about me, like, I'm not like smart. I'm decently smart, but I've never been good at spelling or grammar. It just doesn't click in my brain. I actually spelled my name wrong on my UGA application. And I got in. And that's right. Standard, like UGA now, because we have this thing called the Hope Scholarship. It's like the average student incoming has like a 4.0. And all this, it's like such a hard school to get into now. And I'm like, I am thankful I went to college in 2003, because I wouldn't have even gotten close. And it was funny, because the first 2 years of college, my name on every roster was Daniel Jospe Simmons instead of Daniel Joseph Simmons. And so then I finally emailed him. I was like, listen, it's Daniel Joseph Simmons. They're like, oh, we'll fix it. No worries, no worries. But then they made a mistake in the system. So then all my third year in college, I was Daniel Jose Simmons. And so then finally, senior year, they got it all figured out. And it's right on my diploma. So I guess that's all that matters. I want to start off playing a game with y'all, okay? This is a game that I like to play when I go talk somewhere. It helps me kind of get the vibe a little bit with a new context. I wore my blue for y'all. You know, I'm trying to like build some bridges between SEC schools. You said it well. We got football. Y'all got basketball. And it's like, I mean, every now and then something happens. But all right, this is what we're going to play, okay? This is a game called Confirm or Deny, okay? And what's going to happen is everyone's going to stand up. And I'm going to make a declarative statement, okay? And you are either going to confirm that statement by remaining standing, or you are going to deny that statement by sitting down. And you are not allowed to explain your answer, okay? So you either confirm or you deny. Does that make sense? So when you stand up, you're doing what? Confirming. You sit down, you're doing what? Denying. Okay. This is a chance to get to know y'all a little bit, for y'all to get to know me a little bit, okay? So first off, confirm or deny. This is your first time at CSF Fall Retreat. Confirm or deny, this is your first time. Well, welcome y'all. Welcome. Welcome. We're glad you're here. This is also my first time here, so we're all in this together. All right, everyone back up. Everyone back up. Confirm or deny, you are an education major. You are an education major. Where are my people at? There we go. Nice. My major was social science education in high school, so if I wasn't doing this, I'd be a football coach. So shout out to all my education majors. All right, everyone back up. Everyone back up. Confirm or deny you were originally from outside of Kentucky. You were originally from outside of Kentucky. How many out-of-staters? Out-of-staters. All right, nice, nice. All right, this is going to be a shot. This is going to be a shot in the dark. Shot in the dark. Confirm. Well, Jessica can stand up. No, y'all stay down. Confirm or deny you are originally from Georgia. Anyone else? Look at that. We got some people. We got some people. There we go. All right. Man, there's many of us. Let's hold it down. All right, everyone back up. All right, this is just me understanding my context a little bit, and it was alluded to a little early, okay? Confirm or deny, college football is superior to college basketball. Well, there are more people standing than I thought. All right. All right. My people. Now, Georgia was good at basketball. I might have different feelings. All right, everyone back up. Everyone back up. All right. Rubber's meeting the road right here, all right? Remember, God's watching, okay? God's watching right now. Confirm or deny, you have stalked someone in this room on social media because you thought they were attractive. You have stalked someone on social media in this room because you thought they were attractive. Remember, with God, all things are possible. That's right. All things are possible. Back up. Back up. Back up. This is the last one I'm going to ask during this session. We'll do a little confirm or deny before each session. This is where we're really going to see your character. Confirm or deny, you have broken up with someone over social media or text message. You have broken up with someone over. All right. These are the people to avoid, everybody. They're the people to avoid. All right, everybody can grab a seat. You can all grab a seat. All right. Oh. You know, it says like in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's like there's that asterisk where it's like, but if you break up with someone on text message, maybe you need to pray a little more. I'm just kidding. I say that because I'm so old, I broke up with a girl in high school over AOL Instant Messenger. And so I am there with you. But Simmons 5. It was like I was so early in the instant messenger, you didn't have to have 7 name. You know, it wasn't like cute guy 579223 like y'all have. That's a fun get to know you question. If y'all just want to get to know someone this weekend, ask them what their first email address was. That's always an interesting question. So, look. It's funny to see some of y'all, right when I said that, y'all went into immediate regret. You were like, oh, old email address. All right, so quick facts about myself. Like Jessica said, I'm from Georgia. I pretty much always was from Georgia. My parents were born in Georgia. My parents were high school sweethearts, so my uncles, they all know each other. So we got roots in Georgia. I grew up outside of Atlanta in a suburb. I went to UGA. I shouldn't have gotten in. I got in the last day. They said, like, you'll know by this day if you get in. And that morning, I checked my email, and they still hadn't decided. So I think I was literally the last person to get into UGA. Went there 4 years, 2003 to 2007. Was involved at Wesley. That's where I met Jessica. We called her Mama A-Train back in the day because Jessica Avery. So we called her Mama A-Train. And so, I mean, if the nickname sticks, I mean, it's got some time. I met my wife at UGA Wesley. So right after college, my wife and I both came on staff. My wife and Jessica are actually from the same small town in Georgia. And so my wife and I have been married for 12 years. We got 3 kids, 3 girls. Nora, Lily, and Molly, they're 8, 6, and 3. And so they are tons of fun. But that's pretty much me. I work at Wesley. I do a bunch of different things there. And then I hang out with my fam. That's kind of my life. And so to give you a quick roadmap of where we're going to go this weekend is I'm kind of calling this, I don't know, for lack of a better term, series, these three sessions we're doing together, Change the Narrative. And what that means is this, is when it comes to college, you are at this unique time in your life. And there are so many narratives about college that you inherit that you don't get to pick. There's all these ways of thinking about what college is or what college is supposed to look like that we inherit from other people, that we inherit from people or maybe from movies, popular culture. And what I want to do kind of during these sessions is I kind of want to challenge some of these narratives. I kind of want to challenge some of these narratives and say, you know what? Maybe with Jesus, the narrative of what it looks like, of what the college experience can be different. So that's kind of where we're going over these three sessions. Because one thing is true that we would all agree on when it comes to college. Anyone who's done campus ministry in general, or if you've been in college, is that college is a trajectory setting time. That right now you are making decisions that will affect the rest of your future. That you're deciding what you want to be. You're deciding what career you want to have, what kind of peer group you want to have. Like, you're making such huge trajectory altering decisions during this time. And that's, to be honest, why I love doing campus ministry. That's why I stay here, because it is such a unique time in your life. And so I think it's especially important that when it comes to when you are here in college, that you think about some of the narratives that maybe you're believing without even knowing about what the college experience is like. So, quick question. Any marketing majors here? There we go. We got the few excited marketing majors. We're going to play another little game. You don't have to stand up for this one, but this one has a point more than just having some fun. Okay, I'm going to throw some logos up on the screen with the names removed, and I want to see if you can guess what the logo is. Okay, so you can throw the first one up there. All right, what is that? Lacoste. If you're in a fraternity, you should have known that immediately. Because I don't know about UK, but at UGA, that's like what you wear. All right, go to the next one. What is that? Lay's potato chips. You'll probably eat some of those this weekend, right? You get oil dripping all down your hands and everything. All right, go to that last one. I want to show you this. All right, look, this is the evolution of the Nike logo. It goes from when it was a different name to Nike with the swoosh, Nike with the swoosh, Nike with the swoosh, that by 1995, the symbol had become so recognizable, they didn't even need the company name anymore. Now anyone can see the swoosh, they know what that means. You know, there's actually, if you study kind of like unreached people groups in the world, it's actually interesting that there will be unreached people who have never heard of the gospel, never heard the name of Jesus, but they can recognize the symbol of Coca-Cola, right? Why is that? It's because we live in a world of brands, right? We live in a world of marketing. We live in a world where you can recognize these things because they're presented to you, because you know their colors, you see their commercials. There's this way that these companies are presenting themselves to you so that you buy their product. And see, what I want you to kind of realize and think about is that it's not actually that far from what you do in college. So much of college, to be honest, if you look at it, you may not have thought about it this way, but is you building your brand. If you think about it, you have a brand. You have a way that you present yourself to other people. You have a certain way you dress. I packed my clothes this morning, and I realized I packed 4 blue shirts. And now I was a little disingenuous. I was like, look, I'm wearing blue for Kentucky. And that's kind of it, but I kind of just own a lot of blue. That's just my brand. I wear blue and I wear black, right? If you dress down and you wear t-shirts and athletic shorts, and then you show up, if you showed up to like school one day and you were in a 3-piece suit, they'd be like, that's weird. Why? Because that's not your brand. That's not how you present yourself. If you think about how you interact in a public setting, let's say, so I can actually stand on a stage and talk, but I'm actually a huge introvert, to be honest. It's like, after I spend time with you, I'm like, where's my corner? I can be by myself. You know, like, I'm very much that. So if I'm like at a party or something, and I'm like going crazy, people are like, Daniel, that's different than what you normally are. That's kind of off brand for you, right? We all have these ways that we present ourselves to other people. And so much of college, to be honest, is almost this like brand building idea. Because if you think about it, what are you trying to do for future employers? Like, you all want a job, right? You want it, your parents are like, yeah, better, right? They're going to college. They're going to get a job. Like, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get a certain GPA to get into a certain major so that you can get into a certain job so that when you go to interview, they can see the external things of you and be like, I want to hire that person. Some of y'all are in different organizations, and some of y'all, the reason you're in those organizations is because they provide a social network of people so that it can help you in your future, so that you think that your future is going to be better off by being in this fraternity, this sorority, this philanthropy type of organization, that so much of college, when it comes to your GPA, what you're involved, the internships you try to get, the leadership positions you try to get in different organizations, so much of it really revolves around you trying to build this brand of how you want to present yourself to other people, because this is the narrative that everyone, when it comes to college, embraces. It's a narrative that's given to you, is that college is a trajectory setting time. We can all agree on that. But the narrative that we all have is this, is that the way to get to where we want is by building our brand. It's by building up the external parts of us. It's by getting that right GPA, it's by getting into that right major, getting to that right sorority, getting into that right organization, getting that right leadership position, because then you're gonna have something to offer. And so then you can live in front of other people and they can say, all right, I'm gonna employ you. All right, I'm gonna be your friend. All right, I'm gonna give you this. And so we have this idea that college is this trajectory setting experience. So how do you get to where you wanna go? Well, you build up this brand. I want you to think about how much time you spend thinking about what other people think about you. I want you to think about how much time you spend thinking about the posts you make on Instagram. I want you to think about how many times you readjust that camera and you're like, ah, oh, selfie, a little too much double chin. Let's, you know, like go over here. Let's go over here. Whether we like to admit it or not, we are all trying to build a brand because we all want to be perceived in a certain way. See, but here's the issue with that. Is your GPA, your leadership positions that you have on campus, your major, your social network of friends, your social media empire that you may have, all of that is not who you really are. It's not who you really are. See, one time Jesus was talking and he was going on one of his rants, and Jesus had like some epic rants. And I love ranting Jesus. It's one of my favorite, like to read through the gospels. I love when Jesus just starts ranting. It just, I don't know, I just like it. It makes him, it like reminds me that he's human, like, you know, fully God, fully man. It just makes sense to me. And so the thing was this, is Jesus was talking to this group called the Pharisees one time, and they were the religious elites of the day. And these were the people, to be honest, they had the brand. They would have had the GPA. They would have had the leadership position. They would have been the ones, when they walked down the street, everyone's like, oh, look at those guys. I want to be like them. You know, they're so smart. Like, they had the brand. They were successful. And this is what Jesus said to them in Matthew 23, 25 through 26. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. What Jesus is saying is these Pharisees, these people who had this great brand, who they would have been hired immediately. They had all the leadership positions. They looked great from the outside. He looked at them and he said, hey, you're getting it all wrong because you have this great appearance. You've earned these great things, but the inside of you is filthy. And so Jesus called that. He said, woe. And you know, it wasn't like the woe that we're singing in worship, right? It was woe, which means actually great distress or sorrow. What he's saying, he's looking at them and he's saying, you look so great on the outside. You've achieved so much. You've worked for so much. But because what's inside of you is wicked, because what's inside of you is messed up, because you only care about the outward appearance, you should be distressed and sorrowful because you're missing the point. You see, I think the first narrative that Jesus would have us challenge this weekend is this, is that in college, it is a trajectory setting season of your life, absolutely. You see, but when it comes to college, we often want to build a brand, but Jesus wants to build our character. You see, we want to build our brand. We want to get that right GPA, get in that right organization, get in that right major, have that right romantic relationship. But Jesus wants to clean the inside of us first. See, I'm not saying those things are wrong. What I'm saying is Jesus says, hey, if you clean the inside of the cup first, then the outside will also be clean. You see, what I'm talking about here is character. Character is who you really are. Character is who you are on the inside. I had a mentor who told me this. He said, character is who you are in the dark when no one's looking. You see, who are you really when no one's looking? When there's no social media post, when there's no one to impress, when there's no one to try to get attention from. Who are you? That is your character. And the truth is if you're a follower of Jesus, he is our example of what our character should be like, right? You read Galatians 5, you see the fruit of the Spirit. You see things like patience, you know, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, love, self-control. You have these things, this model that's held up of saying, hey, this is what's actually supposed to be inside of you. But if we're honest, if we look at the character that Jesus had, that we see modeled in the Gospels, that we see listed in Galatians 5, and we look at who we actually are when no one's looking, when it's not about us building our brand or putting forward a certain external appearance, there's a huge, huge gap. There's a huge, huge gap between the character that is available to in Jesus and where we actually live. So I want you to think about this. What comes out of you when you're squeezed? Not what comes out of you when you can have your guarded moments and you can put on the happy face and you'd be like, well, I love Jesus and so I love everybody and I'm just patient all the time. What comes out of you when you're squeezed? What comes out of you when the circumstances are going bad? What comes out of you when someone really wrongs you? What comes out of you when you're really having a rough day? Because what comes out of you when you're squeezed is what's actually on the inside. You see, but the good news is this, is not only did Jesus model for us the type of character that we are supposed to have, he actually enables us to have transformation where our character can begin to look like his. And it's a process, it's a transformation that you can actually begin in college. You can begin at any point, anyone can begin. Look at this, this is so stinking good. This is amazing. I just love this. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Paul's talking about what's available under the new covenant because Jesus has died and has been resurrected. The new access that we now have to the Father that we did not have in the Old Testament, that we did not have under the old covenant. And it says this, and we all with unveiled face, because that's alluding back to Moses in Exodus when he went up to meet with God and he got the Ten Commandments. He stood face to face with God, but he had to put a veil over his face. Right? And he says, but now we with unveiled faces because of the blood of Jesus, we can now approach God with confidence. It says, we come with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What Paul is saying is you have this amazing opportunity now. You have this amazing opportunity that God wants to change you. He wants to transform you, but he doesn't start on the outside and then work in. He starts on the inside and he works out. That it starts where you get to behold God. That word behold, it literally just means to look at, to inquire about. So that's when you read the Bible. That's when you spend time with God. That's when you worship. That's when you're in a small group, a community of people, and you're learning from each other. That's when you're praying. It's when you're worshiping. It's when you look at nature and you give God glory and praise because of what you see. It's whenever you actively abide in God. When you behold him, you end up becoming more like him. It's not some Christian form of like self-perfection where it's like work on these habits and then you're going to be changed. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you literally making you become a new person, and you have access to that if you know Jesus. You have access to literally become a different person, to be transformed. And that is a huge, huge, huge deal. Because the truth is this, is you know, a principle, right? A principle is something that whether you believe it or not is true. It's something that whether you believe it or not, or you wish it was true or not, it's just gonna happen, right? And the principle is this, is whatever you behold, you're gonna become. Whatever you behold, you're gonna become. So if you just behold the success of this world, what are you gonna become? Exactly like this world. If you behold what the average UK student says college is supposed to be, what are you going to become? The average UK student doing what the average UK student does. But if you behold God, if you look to Jesus, if you give yourself over to this process of transformation, then all of a sudden that character inside of you, the character of Jesus, begins to form and it begins to take shape. Because the truth is this, is it doesn't matter where our, let me just restart that one again. It happens, right? Come on, I spelled my name wrong on my UGA application. I'm doing well here. It doesn't matter where you are going if you don't pay attention to who you are becoming. It doesn't matter where you are going if you don't pay attention to who you are becoming. Because you can quickly turn into one of the Pharisees where Jesus would look at you and say, yep, the outside looks great, but what does the inside look like? What is actually growing on the inside of you? See, here's the issue though. A lot of y'all, you know, in doing campus ministry so long, like my goal is always to get people to fall in love with the idea of becoming more like Jesus. The idea of like actually displaying the patience, the kindness, the love, the joy, all that of Jesus. But I see so many college students, I see what happens is they get a hold of that idea and they're like, okay, I'm gonna embrace that narrative. I'm gonna make my college experience about that, but then they give up. And the reason they give up is because they forget in this verse how Paul describes that process is going to take place. I want to read it again because this is so important. 2 Corinthians 3:18, second time around. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, one degree of glory by to another. That means this transformation that Jesus does inside of you, it can be these big chunks. You know, sometimes you come forward, maybe someone prays for you and you walk away changed. But a lot of times the transformation of your character, the reshifting of your insides to be like more of Jesus happens little by little, by little, by little, by little, by little. It happens where today you wake up and you decide you're going to clothe yourself in Christ. You're going to pursue God. And then you decide that the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day. And then you look back a year from now and you say, oh my gosh, I am a completely different person because of the grace of Jesus and what he is building inside of me. See, a lot of people, they might be like, well, Jesus, like this is what I see, right? Well, Jesus didn't have anxiety. He was a peaceful person. So like, Jesus, bring me peace. And then it's like, and then they wake up the next morning and you're like, I still have some anxiety. This thing must not work. I guess I'm just gonna be an anxious person for the rest of my life. No, because God is gonna transform you degree of glory by degree of glory. Don't give up, right? You think about people who are like, well, Jesus was always able to be patient, so God, give me patience. And you're like, did it happen, right? And have you ever like become impatient about being impatient? Because that's me, like impatience is something I struggle with, where I'm like, why am I so freaking impatient? It's like, well, I was just impatient about being impatient. And then you're just impatient and you're like, God, how come I'm not patient yet? It's like, because it's little by little by little by little by little by little. You're like, oh, Jesus was full of joy. You read in Hebrews 1 where it says, Jesus was filled with an oil of joy beyond all his companions, that Jesus was the most joyful person in the world, that's in his character. And you're like, well, I'm not a very joyful person. God, give me your joy. And you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm maybe a little joyful, but what's going on? Well, it's little by little by little by little by little by little. Now, can God bring big, huge change? Absolutely. I've seen him do that in my life. But a lot of times the deal is this, is God doesn't often move at the speed that we wished. But what he does is often much deeper and more thorough than we thought we needed. That when God is really shifting something inside of you, he's often working at a much deeper, slower, and thorough level. See, but I get it, because building a brand is very tempting in college. It's so very tempting. See, my mom has this phrase. Your mom, you know how Jesus had those phrases that just like stopped everyone in their tracks? You know, my mom has some of those. And one thing she would always say whenever I was doing something stupid, she'd always go, Daniel, are you trying to get attention in a negative way? Because how do you respond to that? You know, it's like, Daniel, are you trying to get attention in a negative way? And you're like, no, yes. You know, it's like, there's no way to respond. And it's great. Like me and my parent friends, we all use that phrase all the time. But here's the thing. I get why you want to build a brand in college, because it's nice, right? It's nice for people to pay attention to us. It's nice. We like it when someone looks at us and say, man, you're so smart. Oh my gosh, how many leadership positions are you in school? Like how many? Oh my goodness, you got into that sorority? Wow, you got into that major? Wow, that's like, really hard. You must have worked really hard. And once again, it's not that those things are bad. It's just we love attention. We love for the light to be shining on us. And so we spend all our time and energy a lot of times cleaning the outside of that cup. And I think Jesus would say to us, let's change that narrative. Let's clean the inside, and then the outside will also be clean. Seek me on a daily basis and watch me transform your character from the inside out. So here's I think this is interesting. I'm going to read this real quick. So we're going to the Wesley Foundation. We're named John Wesley. He started the Methodist Church, and it was really when the Methodist Church started, it was kind of like Anglicanism had kind of like become very religious, and so he started these groups of people who really wanted to live for God. And these were the questions that they asked themselves whenever they met. And I think this is fascinating because it shows that this issue is not just an issue for your generation, but it's just an issue that comes because we have sin in our life. Listen to the questions. So like they would gather in groups, like these guys and girls, and they'd ask themselves questions for the sake of growing closer to God. And these are the questions they'd ask themselves. I want you to think about what you would answer to these questions. Question one, am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I am better than I am? In other words, am I a hypocrite? Two, am I honest in all my acts and words, or do I exaggerate? Three, do I confidentially pass on to another what was told to me in confidence? Four, am I a slave to dress, friends, work, or habits? You see, this idea of building this exterior part of you, of wanting people's attention to be on you, it's not just you. It's just a thing that comes to all of us. But the truth is this, is especially now because you are in college, if you can grip the narrative that God is about developing your character, and if you start sowing into that sort of lifestyle, You have no idea the type of person you could be when you're 30, 40, 50, or 60 years old. See, I want to ask you this. Let's say you were going off on a journey, right? You had a destination in mind. You wanted to walk somewhere. So you started to travel towards that destination, right? Shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So let's say you started on your journey. You were walking down a trail. Now let's say you altered that journey by just 1 degree. So you went from here to here. You know, after you walked at that alternate journey, that 1 degree off, after about a day, it probably wouldn't feel that different. A few hours, it wouldn't feel different at all. Then after about 2 days, after about 3 days, after about a month, after about a year, just because you altered the journey 1 degree, you would end up at a completely different destination. And that is what is available in Jesus, that daily, degree of glory by degree of glory by degree of glory, God changes you and transforms you into the image of his son, and you become a cup that is clean on the inside and the out. And then you end up in a completely different type of life than one you could build on your own. See, a lot of y'all have big dreams and wishes about what you want to be when you grow up, right? When you start really adulting, and you want to be a doctor, you want to be a teacher, you want to be a banker, you want to be a physical therapist, you want to be all those things. And I think that's great, and I think it's great to have career aspirations, but I think the bigger question and where I really want you to change the narrative is not about if you're going to be a doctor or not. I think this is the better question. What type of doctor are you going to be? What type of father are you going to be? What type of mother are you going to be? What type of friend? What type of brother? What type of sister? What type of teacher? Because what God offers, what is available, is not just for us to build our brand to get what we want, but to change us from the inside out, so then we can become vessels of seeing his kingdom advance in us and through us throughout our entire life. So when it comes to your inner life, this is the question I just want to end tonight with, is what narrative do you want for your college experience? Do you want your college experience to be about building your brand? Do you want it to be about cleaning the outside of your cup? Or do you want something better? Do you want to seek God and allow him to just transform you from the inside out? So if y'all bow your heads, I'm going to pray for y'all. God, I thank you so much for this journey that we're starting this weekend. I thank you so much, God, for this journey that we're starting. And I pray, Lord, in every single person's heart here, that you would put a passion, that you would put a desire to see you transform us, that we would no longer settle for the things that are on the inside of us and just saying, well, that's just the way it is. But instead, Lord, we would behold you, that we would seek you, and that we would see you change us degree of glory by degree of glory, Lord, in any way that we've been cleaning the outside of that cup. In any way we've been about building our brand or setting up our own life or trying to build something for ourselves, God, I pray that right now in these moments, you would even put in us a desire to make that switch. To make that switch and say, God, instead of building my brand, I want you to build my character. I want you to make me more like you. So Holy Spirit, would you come and would you put that desire in us? Would you come and would you put that passion in us? And it's in the name of Jesus we pray.